The Word of God with me, please, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2, the book of Luke, chapter number 2.
I remind you, just in case, you've forgotten and so on, that we have three series going on at one time. Aren't you glad I don't preach on every series, every service, right? We have an Old Testament book, a New Testament book, and a topical series. We've come back tonight to our topical series. Our topical series are night scenes of Scripture. Things that took place during the night. And I'm trying to focus our attention on this particular series on things, on great things the Lord did at night. Things that are good news, not bad news, if you will, and all these kind of things. We come to our next night scene in Luke chapter number 2. There are a lot of night scenes in Scripture. There's a lot of night scenes in the book of Genesis, but since we're preaching through Genesis, I said, I'll just preach on that when I get to it. There are night scenes in Matthew, but I'll just preach on that when I get to it, and so on. So we're just trying to hop, skip, and jump around a little bit with this series. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Luke chapter 2, for our time's sake, I'm just going to read verse number 20. Verse number 20. I'm preaching on the opening 20 verses, but I'm just going to read for our text verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the two words, the shepherds. The two words, the shepherds. I preach to you on this subject tonight. Father, help us, I pray. Thank you for this church and Lord, for how you've blessed it down through the years. I pray that you'll bless us again tonight by helping us to feel your sweet presence here. We know you're here, but I pray that you manifest yourself among us. Speak to us now as we open the Word of God. We rejoice in our heart that we hold a copy of the Word of God with us tonight. Help us not to ever get over that. Help us not to ever preach our own philosophies, our own ideas, but help us to simply open the Bible and preach what you've already said. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we progress through our study on the night scenes of Scripture, we've come to this chapter in the book of Luke. In the opening seven verses, matter of fact, let's just read it together. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there were no room for them in the inn. And these opening seven verses of this chapter, we see events taking place that show, obviously, the sovereign hand of Almighty God at work. See, a decree from Caesar Augustus went out that all the people should be taxed. And as a result of this decree, all the people went to his own city to be taxed. Now, Joseph was among these people that was under this here, and he went back to his own city called Bethlehem, because he was of the lineage of David. He had Mary, his espoused wife, with him while she was expecting the baby Jesus. While they were there in that city, her days were accomplished, and the Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, before I get to my outline here, the importance of this in these opening seven verses is that we see from the prophecy of the Old Testament that it was promised that the Messiah, the Christ child, God come in human flesh, was going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. The Bible says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." In the book of Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 to 6, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." What I'm trying to get across to you in these opening seven verses, before we get to the night scene starting in verse 8, is it's encouraging tonight to the child of God to see how the Lord of glory was providentially working behind the scenes to make sure that his word and his prophecy concerning his son would be fulfilled. He was putting everything together behind the scenes. He caused this Caesar Augustus to make this decree. Caesar Augustus wanted the people to be taxed, but God was providentially behind the scenes, sovereignly setting it up so that when he was born, it was simply another proof that this really is the Christ child. He was born in the city of Bethlehem. Now, it's around this event of the Lord Jesus' birth that we come to the next night scene in Scripture. It centers around the shepherds in the same country, the Bible says, keeping watch over their flocks by night. The shepherds are on display for us when you come to verse number 8 all the way down to verse number 20. Now, it's these shepherds that I want to draw our attention to tonight. It's the night of the Savior's birth, and the Bible says that they are watching their flocks by night. Now, this being the case, I want to give you three things about the shepherds tonight. First of all, let's notice their revelation. We see this beginning in verse number 8. Let's read it together. "There was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock," here it is, "by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said," revealed unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wouldn't you love to have been there that night, friends? Honestly, as these shepherds were watching over their flocks by night, the angel of the Lord appears unto them, and his glory shone round about them to the point that it scared them half to death. The angel begins to speak and to reveal to them not to fear, because the tidings that he has were tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. And I'm telling you tonight that there are a couple things as we notice this revelation in verses 8 down to verse number 14. There are a couple things that we can comment on, and I have a lot of comments on them. Here we go. Number one, let's notice the message that was given. What was the message? The message was basically saying, I'm bringing you a message that there's a baby that's been born in Bethlehem. Now, there are several thoughts about this message under it. Let's just plow, put your seatbelt on. We're getting ready to go above the speed limit. Here we go. First of all, under this, the message. First of all, this message was given to the shepherds. Now, this is encouraging to me. It's been said that shepherds were engaged in hard work back in this day. And sometimes shepherds were considered very unclean. They were considered vile and sometimes filthy. According to my study, the honesty of shepherds was so questionable back in this day that they were not even allowed to testify in a court of law during this time. At best, now get this, at best, shepherds were common, ordinary men. And it blesses my heart tonight that when the angel came to reveal that Christ had been born, he did not reveal it to priests. And he did not reveal it to scribes. And he did not reveal it to Pharisees. He revealed it to the common, ordinary shepherd. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the ordinary common man and common woman. Number two, this message came as the shepherds were doing their job. Now this is another thought here. This is one of those messages where I say you're not going to leave and say, boy, what in point one, letter A, number two, under that a great message. No, but I'm hoping that something tonight will either encourage you to keep going or stop you and cause you to do something for God. Secondly, this message came as the shepherds were doing their job. It's interesting to note that the angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds who it is said were keeping the watch over their flock by night. This is simply what they were supposed to be doing. This was their duty. This was their job. And as they were doing their job faithfully, the Lord gave them this revelation about the birth of the Messiah. My friends, Moses, when God called him, was keeping sheep. Gideon, when God called him, was threshing wheat. And may I say that Elisha, when Elijah came by after God told him to cast his mantle on him, he was simply plowing with oxen. And I'm telling you that in the same way, if you want to learn more about God and you want Him to reveal more to you, then my advice is find what your duty is and keep doing it faithfully, and He can reveal other things to you. Number three, the message was for all people. We see this. The angel said this message of the birth of Jesus Christ is a message of good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. My friends, this is just another way of saying that the Lord Jesus came to save the world. He didn't just come to save an elect few. He came to die and be the Savior of all of mankind. I'm telling you, He's not just the Savior of the Jew. He's also the Savior of the Gentile. And by the way, you are one or the other tonight, so you ought to shout glory that when Jesus was born, He was born. What I'm talking about, this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is good tidings of great joy to all people, whether it be Jews or whether it be Gentiles. Number four, this message was not only for the world, for all people, but it was also for the individual. Because the Bible specifically says, when the angel came to the shepherds, he said, now notice what he said right here in verse number 11, for unto you is born this day. He said, listen, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Oh, and by the way, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Number five, the message is a message of peace and goodwill. I know I'm loading your wheelbarrow tonight, folks. I know that. I'm giving you a lot of information here. But I want you to see what this night had to, oh, what a message. Honestly, what a message. It was a message to the common, ordinary person. It was a message who came to those just doing their duty. It was a message that was going to be for all people. It was a message that was for the person individually. And it was a message of peace and goodwill. We see this. The Word of God teaches us that unsaved man has the wrath of God abiding on him. In John 3, verse 36. However, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means He would have never died on the cross if He hadn't have been born in Bethlehem, friends. Because He was born and He lived a perfect sinless life and He went to the cross of Calvary and hung and bled and died, because of that, man who is at enmity with God can now be at peace with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get anything else tonight, you ought to just let that thought resonate in your heart just a minute. That if you're saved, God's not your enemy anymore. Because can I say something to you? If God's your enemy, you got problems. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad that because he was born, it was good tidings of great joy. That'll be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It goes on to say in verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, there it is, peace, goodwill toward men. Aren't you glad that God's a peaceful God, friends? I'm telling you, there's the message. We're looking at their revelation, the message, several things about it. Number two, let's notice, under the revelation, let's notice the baby Jesus. Just a couple of things about him. By the way, how can you fully describe Jesus Christ? You can't do it. But let's just notice a couple of things about him here. First of all, let's notice his identity. Who is this baby that was born in Bethlehem? Through the message, through the revelation, they gave his identity. The angel identified him in verse number 11, where he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, you say, what's this? You know what the angel's doing? He's identifying the Lord. I'm trying to comprehend what it must have been like to be one of those shepherds. When all they're doing is just keeping watch over their flock by night, and all of a sudden an angel appears. I think you and I'd probably be scared too at that point, friends. And he comes and he gives a message to them of all people. And it's a message, just as they were doing their job, it's going to be for all people. It's for them. And it's a message of peace and goodwill toward men. And he says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, this is his identity. You know what the word Savior means? It means deliverer. He's the deliverer. You know what the name Christ means? It means he's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. You know what the name Lord means? It means he's the controller. He's supreme in authority. That's what he means. So let's read it that way, okay? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a deliverer, the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the controller, and the supreme in authority. You say, what in the world does that mean? That means that the angel was making it perfectly clear that this is no ordinary baby. This is God come in human flesh. That's what he's announcing. What a revelation. Secondly, not only his identity, but secondly, notice his humility. His humility. This is found in what the angel said. Here's the sign: you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Get it? The creator of the universe did not have a place in the inn, but rather was placed in a feeding trough for animals. The swaddling clothes, this ought to bless your heart a little bit. The swaddling clothes are said to have been used back in this day to prepare bodies for burial. And I'm telling you that one thing we see from this is, it's interesting that when Christ Jesus, the God-man, the deliverer, the Savior, the ruler, was born to bring peace and goodwill toward men, they wrapped him in what they wrapped dead bodies in. Could it be that they were just simply trying to show that the Lord just worked it out? Let's just make it clear from right now that the reason he's born is he came to die. I'm telling you. By the way, is it significant that he was born in a stall? Wouldn't you think that the king of the universe, he deserves the best? He deserves it. I mean, he owns it all. He created it all. He spoke it all into existence. Now the little baby who created it all is lying in a manger instead of a palace. Somebody says, what's the significance of that? You want me to tell you what it is? If he was in a palace, the shepherds could never approach him. Think about it. But because he was in a manger, in a cattle stall, if you will, he was accessible to the common, ordinary shepherd. Glory, I'm getting excited right there. I'm telling you, in all of this, we see his great humility come shining through. What a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:9 puts it this way. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Think about the Lord Jesus. Glory day. If you're saved, there's coming a day when you're going to lay your eyes on his blessed face. Number one, we're looking at the shepherds. First of all, we've noticed their revelation. Several things under it. The message. The message was given to the common ordinary man. It was given to the men who were just doing their duty. It was for all people, but for the individual as well. And it was a message of peace and goodwill. And that message came wrapped in swaddling clothes. God come in human flesh. His great humility in making himself accessible to the world. Second thing we notice about these shepherds is not only their revelation, but secondly, let's notice their response. What did they do once this revelation took place? These angels appeared, this one angel, and then a host of heavenly hosts there were shouting glory to God in the highest. And then once it was over, how did they respond? We read the response in verse 15 and following. And it came to pass the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. These verses tell us how these shepherds responded. I'm telling you that once they had this heavenly revelation and they were given this great, great message about the Christ child, the one that many people had been waiting on, and yet when they're given this revelation, when they're given this message about Christ, we see they had a threefold response to it. What did they do with the message that they were given? What did they do with this great revelation? Did they go back and say, boys, I'm going to tell you one thing. I think we just ate too much pizza tonight. There's no way that was true. Is that what they did? No. There's three things they did to respond to the message. First of all, under this, they believed it. They believed it. The Bible says in verse number 15, you can look at it there. It says that once it was over, they looked at each other and said, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which, notice now, is come to pass. See that? They didn't say, let us go and see if this is true. Let us just go check this out. No, they said, let us get up and go and let's go see what has just taken place. This tells me that there is no hint of doubt in their heart. None whatsoever. They believed the message. Number two, they obeyed the message. We see that in that they got up and went. By the way, somebody says, well, I don't see the angels telling them to go. Should he have to for crying out loud? I mean, here the angel comes and reveals and says, hey, Messiah's born. The Lord of glory has been born in Bethlehem. I'm talking about Messiah. I'm talking about the controller of it all, the one supreme, the Christ child, the one that the Old Testament has been prophesied. He's born this very night. It's only logical if you heard a message like that, that you'd obey it, that you'd get up and go see, because wouldn't you want to see the baby Jesus in human flesh? I'm telling you, that the Bible says that they went. Now notice this now. The Bible says in verse 16, and they came with haste. They were not dragging their feet going, oh, I'll tell you one thing. This is about to kill me. I've been working all day long. My back's hurting. My legs are hurting. No, when they heard that God had showed up in Bethlehem, they had a giddy up and go about him. They in a hurry went to go see him. And I'm telling you, would to God we had Christians who simply believed the message of God and obeyed it in a hurry, friends. Then number three, they not only believed it and obeyed it. Number three, they spread it. They spread the message. Look at verse 17. And when they had heard, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. This verse tells us that when they had seen the baby Jesus, they made it known abroad. It was a great privilege for these shepherds to be informed of this great message from the angel. And while they could have kept it all in, something in them just came out their mouth. I mean, once they had that revelation of that angel, good tidings of, I'm talking of good joy, great joy, good tidings of peace and goodwill toward men. Heavenly host, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. They say, boys, what just happened? Let's get up and go check out what's just taken place. And listen, don't be dragging around. Let's go. And once they went and saw it, just like the angel said, baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Can't you just sense a little bit about what was going on in their heart? It's true. It's true. It's him. It's God. They couldn't keep their mouth shut. And they began to spread the news everywhere they went. And I'm telling you, may God challenge our hearts under this second point, their response. May God challenge our heart to take the message of Jesus Christ and believe it and obey it and spread it abroad here and yonder. Number three, let's notice not only their revelation and their response, but number three, let's notice their return. We see this in verse number 20. And the shepherds, here it is, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, as it was told unto them. There's a great thought that came out in this when I was studying this. In these verses, we see the shepherds returning back to their own place. However, as they returned, notice the language. They were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, they had heard, and of the great message of the angel to them concerning the child. And what I'm saying to you here is this. It's interesting to note when you go back to the revelation when the angels were speaking. When the angels were speaking, the angel and then the host glorifying God. If you will notice in verse number 14, this is the angels. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward who? Men. See, when the angels were praising God, they were praising him for what he was going to be doing to man, to others. But when the shepherds went back, they were praising God for what he had done for them. You see that? It wasn't praise God for what he's done for him and what he's done for him and what he's done for her and what he's done for this one. No, they were going back saying, glory to God, look what he's done for me. Glory to God, look how good God's been to us. And I'm telling you that their return was one of glorifying God. That means magnify him. It was one of honoring the Lord. It was one of glorifying him for his greatness and his majesty. And they gave him honor and glory and praise on their way back home for how good he had been to them personally. You know what we need? We need a steady dose of shepherds like this right here is what we need. We need people who will just be found watching their flock. I don't know what your flock is. Might be your bus route, might be your Sunday school class, might be your family, might be your job. I don't know what it is, but everybody has a duty to be doing before the almighty seeing eyes of God. God, help us to be faithful in our duties to Him. And help us to see that Jesus Christ was born to die for the world, including especially the ordinary common man. God, give us people who'll take the message of Jesus Christ, believe what they hear, believe what they read in the old Bible, believe it, obey it, and begin to spread it abroad. And God, help us every day as we get up and go to our flocks, go to our places, return to our places of business. God, help us to be glorifying and honoring and praising God, not just for what He's done for the world, but what He's done for me. What has God done for you? You know, it's a sickening thought to think about a child of God living their life displeasing God. I'm telling you, the more you understand why Jesus came, the more you understand why He went through this, the more you understand what He went through for you, and the more you want to report for duty and say, God, if you tell me to jump, my question is, how high, sir, do you want me to jump? What has God done for you? Let's just stop right here just a minute. Stop right here just a minute. Somebody from this section right here, somebody stand to your feet and tell me something that right now, I mean, the Lord wants you to do this. Tell me something right now that God, He's not done it for the world, He's done it for you. Somebody stand to your feet and tell us one thing like that. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody in this section here, stand and tell us something that God's done for you personally. Just for you, individually. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody over here on my left, somebody tell me, just one person, stand to your feet and say, this is what God has done for me. Quickly. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. 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 Aren't you glad God is the God of the individual? Let me summarize it. We'll be done. I know what people think. I wish you'd take the summary, put it in the front, leave out everything else and let us be going home, right? It's another night scene. The night that Jesus Christ was born. What a night. The angel appears to shepherds, just common ordinary people, doing their duty out, watching their flocks. They hear this message that it's going to be to all people, but not only all people, but to them personally, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And they heard all of this. The angels disappear. Before they do, the heavenly hosts get all joined together with that angel, and they're singing praise and glory, saying that this is a message of man who is an enemy with God can now be at peace with God. Man who has had ill will, if you will, can now have good will from God. What a message. And that message was going to be through the birth of the Christ child. They hear this message, they believe it. They get up in a hurry, obey it, to go see for themselves. And when they see him, they begin to spread the news all around. There came a time for him to go back to work. So on their way home, can't you just hear him glorifying and praising God, saying, "Glory to God for what he's done for me." This is the next night seen in Scripture. Wouldn't you agree that God has done some great things at night? I appreciate you, Brother Bob, for sending me on this journey. Brother Bob Bryant, sitting right there, said, "Have you ever thought about doing a series on night scenes of Scripture?" Couldn't get away from it. So if you don't like it, blame him. It's his fault, all right? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Help us to be faithful to you. Thank you for this night scene and what we learned from it. And I pray you'll help us now as we try to conclude this and have an invitation. I pray that people will do business with you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're just about through. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you these questions. Jesus Christ was born to die for the world. That includes you. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Notice I'm not asking, did you come forward in a meeting and pray a prayer? I'm not asking that. I'm asking, have you really trusted Christ? Did you repent of your sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Invite him to come into your heart. You wasn't playing games. You meant business. You really wanted to be saved. Has there been a change in your life? Have you trusted Christ? If you haven't, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Lady with a lady, man with a man. I wouldn't let anybody in this world keep me from knowing that my soul is saved and I'm on my way to heaven. See, it doesn't matter what other people think. It only matters what God knows. Please. Please. Secondly, are you faithfully doing your job? I mean, you're just being faithful in the day in, day out. Just like these shepherds were right where they were supposed to be the night that the angel showed up. Could it be that God is still looking for people who are just right where they need to be? Just being faithful. God, help us. Question number three. Are you believing, obeying, and spreading the news? Are you really believing it? Are you obeying it? Are you spreading it? Giving it to others? Final question here, God helping me. Are you glorifying and praising God on a daily basis for what he's done for you? You know, if we are ever consumed with ourselves, it's because we've lost sight of God. How good has God been to you? Think about it. Meditate on it. Praise him right there in your seat. Thank you, Jesus, for doing this. Thank you, God, for giving me another day of life. Thank you for giving me clothes and food and a roof over my head, a bed to sleep in. Thank you for leading me through that valley. Thank you for helping me to reach that mountaintop. And thank you for holding my hand through that river. God, help us. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this thought. Use it in a great way. Somebody needs to come who needs to be saved. Somebody needs to come not doing their duty or just wants to spread the news more, want to be glorifying and praising you better. Help them to respond. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? As he sings, come on now. Would you do that? Come talk to God about it. Have thine own way, thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Father, touch it now and use it in a great way. I want to thank you publicly for what you've done for me. Been good to me. And I pray that you help me to be faithful now in taking the message and spreading it abroad. Bless this church. God, keep your hand upon it, please. Keep the devil out. And I pray for those who are here, maybe visiting tonight, would you speak to them and help them? May they have been encouraged by being here. And bless the church folks. Thank you for their faithfulness. Bless us now as we leave. Help us to be soul conscious, packing our pockets full of gospel tracts, spreading the message around this area and around the world. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you're a visitor, if you're a guest, please don't forget to take your card out to the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you if you'll do that tonight, please.